Sports Central. US Sport.
Super Bowl Monday, going to be a big day if you love the NFL, the New England Patriots. You either love them or you loathe them. Richie Garraway, as I welcome you, and James Arthur from The Vault. Make sure you check out the guys. I'll plug all the ways you can check them out over the next 45 minutes or so, and the Atlanta Falcons to go into battle tomorrow. It's a massive day, obviously, here and particularly in the States. It's a big build-up, isn't it?
It's a huge build-up. They take a two-week build-up. They take an extra week off just so they can plug more stuff in, you know, including they do their season awards in there as well. They play the Pro Bowl in between. But mainly, it's just to build up the hype for two weeks. That's really what that break is for.
Well, unleash, gents. The floor is yours for the next 37 minutes and to pump up this big game tomorrow.
We'll get to the game in a sec. The first thing we want to do is the season awards were announced today. The first thing that I want to touch on is the Hall of Fame class. It includes LaDainian Tomlinson, Morton Anderson, Jason Taylor, Kenny Essley, Jerry Jones, the owner, Terrell Davis, and Kirk Warner. It has one notable omission, I'm sure, James.
Who's that? Who do you think should be there?
I think you think Terrell Owens should be there.
He definitely should be there. 100%. He's one of the best receivers of all time. I can't understand how he's still not in there. It blows my mind. I think LaDainian Tomlinson, fair enough. I think Jason Taylor, yeah, he had a good career. Jerry Jones is an owner. Terrell Davis, I can't believe he's not in there already. And Kurt Warner, they're all pretty fair enough. But you're telling me a kicker goes into the NFL Hall of Fame before Terrell Owens?
Well, Morton Anderson has been retired for longer, so he's been on the ballot for longer.
What position does he play, Rich?
He's the greatest kicker of all time.
Is he the greatest kicker of all time?
Yeah, he's the greatest kicker of all time.
Statistic-wise, he's not. He also missed the only chance the Minnesota Vikings ever had to make a Super Bowl. So, look, I'm not going to rag on Morton Anderson. He's had a good career.
But he's had a great
kicker,
career.
And he's in the Hall of Fame before a top five all-time wide receiver who isn't getting in because he had some character issues. And I'm not even talking about, like, beat up your girlfriend character issues. He was a bit of trouble in the locker room. He got in a fight with Donovan McNabb, which I'm sure many other players did. He was fine at the 49ers. He was fine at the Cowboys. He was fine at the Bengals at the end. He had a great career other than that little bad spot in Philadelphia where, let's be honest, he single-handedly dragged them into a Super Bowl, and if the rest of the team hadn't have been useless around him, he would have dragged them in after breaking his leg 5 weeks earlier. So this guy has been one of the best receivers of all time. He's probably the best receiver I've ever watched. And, you know, I didn't see Jerry Rice play, but I think Terrell Owens is the best receiver I've ever watched, the way he caught the ball. I cannot believe he's not in the Hall of Fame. And it's purely because he has a bit of an attitude, and the people don't like that. It's a load of crap, and it completely, completely smudges this class.
And the last class? Because he didn't get in last year either.
First ballot Hall of Fame's hard. You don't always get in. And it might have been a bit of a stuff you. Like, Marvin Harrison still isn't in because of...
Yeah, well, there's way bigger issues
there.
He
did some really bad stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're telling me what Warren Sapp got in a few years ago, and he's done some really bad stuff too. So, you know, if you're going to... You can't rate some people... Like, Jerry Jones hasn't been the most savory unit his entire career either. There's been some photos that spread around the internet, you know, every few years they spread around. So, if you're going to judge everyone in that regard, you have to judge it all fairly. You can't let Warren Sapp in when, you know...
It's not the football... It's the Football Hall of Fame, not the Good Bloke Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
So I agree. He should be in there.
Load of crap.
Anyway, moving on. The most valuable player went to Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons, who will be playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow. Just quietly, I was shocked. I didn't think they'd give it to him.
Oh, I did.
I think he deserved it, but I didn't think he'd get it.
In the back of my mind, I thought, God, they might give it to Tommy. He only won by a few votes. He didn't run away with it. But I think they definitely got that one right. Tom Brady had an incredible season. Zeke Elliott got a few votes. I think even Prescott got a few votes. But he was the most outstanding quarterback in the league this year. And that's always going to win you the MVP.
The other one, Coach of the Year, went to your mate, Jason Garrett of the Dallas Cowboys. I think well-deserved. And then Assistant Coach of the Year went to probably who's going to be the 49ers' new head coach in Shanahan.
Yeah, I think they probably got, like, honestly, like, I think Bill Belichick should win it every year,
Me
but
too.
It doesn't work that way. No. So, you know, I'm glad.
Not even Jordan won MVP the NBA every year.
Exactly.
Probably should have.
It just doesn't work. But Belichick's the best coach in the league and nothing will change that and he'll be the best ever. But he had a good year this year, missing Brady the first four games. I think Jason Garrett, when Romo went down again at the start of the year, the fact that he got them to 13-3 with a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back, he's put a ton of resources into that offensive line and he's really built his team the right way. And then you also have to remember they lost Rolando McClain on defense, who was their, you know, one of their good linebackers. They had no defensive line help with Lawrence and Gregory getting suspended, and he found ways to make that work. I think Rob Marinelli was a huge part of that, but that's his staff. And I think the fact that he was able to get them to 13-3 with all those things going against him, it's well-deserved. There was three or four guys, I think. Jack Del Rio would have been a big chance to get it.
If Carr had played through, I reckon there's every chance he would have won that.
But they certainly got that one. They didn't get it wrong, so that's fine.
Defensive Player of the Year went to Khalil Mack of the Oakland Raiders.
Hate it.
Yeah, there was a few other pretty worthy guys in that class.
Landon Collins was more worthy to me. You see, Von Miller came second.
Yeah.
Well, I think Von Miller would have been more deserving. Look, Khalil Mack is the flavor of the month at the moment. Everyone loves him, and he's a great football player. But you got to remember, these are still votes, so people have voted for him because they like him and they like the way he goes about it. I think Landon Collins from the New York Giants, like, the Oakland Raiders were the third worst defense in the NFL. I don't know how, like, all the years everyone, they ragged on J.J. Watt for being the defensive MVP in a team that didn't make the playoffs, and then you give it to Khalil Mack, who's one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I don't understand. At least J.J. Watt's defense were actually good when he got the award, so look, I don't like it. I would have preferred Landon Collins. Definitely Landon Collins. He was my pick. I thought he was way more deserving.
The two rookies of the year, they now give an offense and a defense because basically a defensive guy never ever won this award. The offensive rookie of the year went to Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. The defensive rookie of the year went to Joey Bosa of the now LA Chargers.
Yeah, I'll touch on Joey quickly. Terrific season. He held out early, came on like he was unbelievable. He was not only one of the best rookie defensive linemen, but one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL.
He's turned out to be a great pick. He's been third overall.
Yeah, he's been terrific for them. So very well deserved for him. I thought the linebacker, Deion Jones from Atlanta, might have squeezed in and got it from him for just consistency. But Bosa was the best offensive player. Jalen Ramsey, the other one who possibly could have taken it. As for the offensive rookie, Prescott, outstanding year. And this just shows how quarterback-driven media and staff are. Offensive rookie of the year should have been Ezekiel Elliott. There's 100%. No doubt about it.
100%.
Everyone knows it should have been. It's very similar to when RG3 got it and Alfred Morris had that really good year.
Yep,
but
agreed.
Zeke had a much better year than that. He was the linchpin on this offense. He was outstanding all year. Whenever you needed him, he got it done. Think about all the games where he got the run to win the game. He got the run to drain the clock. And that's not me being a homer because Prescott's a Cowboy as well. So I'm just saying it always goes to the quarterback. If there's Prescott's numbers and that, he played well this year. But if you really compare them, and if you say they're on two separate teams or two separate years, and you compare their seasons, Ezekiel Elliott is miles above Prescott in the way he played. Congratulations to Prescott, but I certainly think Zeke should have got that.
Last one I want to take a look at is the comeback player of the year. It went to Jordy Nelson of the Green Bay Packers, who blew his knee out last year, came back this year and he basically helped that passing attack become back to what it was because he is elite.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
don't know if he's elite.
Yes, he is.
He struggled early.
He's top 10.
He's top 10, yeah.
Well, that's elite, mate.
No, I don't think so. There's categories. There's categories.
There's so many receivers in the NFL.
Just take him or Julio 10. Jones.
Yeah, well, he's elite too.
Is he?
Yes.
So Julio Jones and Jordy Nelson are in the same ranking.
Yeah, I'll take them both.
You can't have them both. Who are you going to have out of one?
Well, top 10's elite in the NFL, if you ask me.
I don't know. I don't think he's elite. He had a good year, though, and he was definitely the comeback player of the year. Can we just touch on the... I love that they give out an offensive line of the year. It's so cool. It's only a new award. It came in a couple of years ago.
No one cares, mate.
It was the Cowboys, but... You care, mate, because you know what it's like to have an offensive line. When your crappy team, the Bucks, pull themselves out of relevance.
Hey, we won an award this year.
What'd you win?
The Bridgestone Performance Play of the Year when wideout Mike Evans pulled in a one-handed catch against the Falcons and they got blasted.
Mike Evans won an award this year. You guys didn't.
He still plays for the Buccaneers, mate.
It's a solo play award. And they gave away two Walter Payton Man of the Year. That Eli Manning and Larry Fitzgerald both got it. It's the first time that's happened. So, you know, they do a lot of good things for their communities. Eli Manning sat there and looked like a dope through the whole thing, which was entertaining for me.
That's what he is. Enough of the awards. We'll move on to the Super Bowl. We'll tee it up and then get deeper into it into the next segment. It will be on tomorrow, Monday, 10:30 a.m. It'll start. It's on 7, mate. It's on ESPN. And if you have NFL Game Pass, you'll be able to stream it there as well. The New England Patriots, they've won a Super Bowl down in Houston before. That's where the game will be played, up against the Atlanta Falcons, who are only going to their second ever Super Bowl. And they lost to, I think, Denver last time they were in the Super Bowl. So, James, taking a first look at it, how's this game shaping up for you?
It's a really hard game to read, and we discussed it on the podcast this week. I'm actually going to change my pick at the end of the segment because I've been doing a lot of research, and I don't understand how the Patriots are going to slow down Atlanta. And I think if it gets into a shootout, the Patriots are not suited to play that game. The Patriots' best bet is that, you know, it's all well and good saying they're the number one defense in NFL, the number one scoring defense. If you have a look at the teams they played over the year, which I know is not their fault, but they did not play many good quarterbacks, nor did they play many good offenses as a whole. They had a lot of easy games, especially at the end of the season. They had a lot of easy games. So I don't know if their defense is as good as it makes out. They lack that pure pass rusher, which they traded away last year to the Arizona Cardinals. They lack a middle linebacker that's versatile, which they traded away in Jamie Collins. Or other people are saying, oh, how smart is that? I don't know whether it is. If I'm a coach, I want all the talent I can on my team. And they traded those guys away for practically nothing. And they would be helpful in this game. I bet you if you could have Jamie Collins and Chandler Jones, you'd have them in a heartbeat in this game. So that's my concern with the Patriots, is how they're going to stop everything Atlanta does. It's all well and good stopping Julio Jones. You've got to stop everything.
And that's certainly my first thought about this game as well. If this game goes into a shootout, sorry, Pats fans, forget it.
You're
not going to win. You can't keep up with these guys. This Atlanta team really reminds me of the 09 Saints, where they played all their games indoors. They've lucked out again. This Super Bowl will be indoors. Trust me, the Houston roof will not be open. It's never open.
Okay? They're not opening. It's scheduled to have rain, so I don't know why they'd open it.
They won't. Trust me, this game will be indoors. It'll be on the fast turf track or carpet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Atlanta play, obviously, all their home games on that stuff. They play an away game against Atlanta. Against New England. Oh, geez, I got that wrong twice. Against the Saints, they also play that in a dome. If you look at all their games this year, they play three quarters of them inside, and it's an inside Super Bowl. They play both their playoff games inside. This suits them down to a T. This is exactly what they want. They don't go on the road and play in the snow like New England have to. There's none of that for Atlanta.
No.
And this team is just scoring like 35. They're averaging 35-plus points a game. That's insane. That is so many points.
It's actually the sixth best offense of all time. So that
points scored or points, yardage?
No, points scored is like the third best. Yardage is about the fifth or sixth best all time. So that puts things in perspective a little bit on how good this offense is. You know, I think the one thing that will go in the Patriots' favor is I think they'll be able to run the ball better. I don't think Atlanta's defense up front is strong. Their D tackles are very weak. I know Vic Beasley's a really good pass rusher.
He's not a good run stopper.
You can attack him in the running game. Yeah, Deion Jones had a great rookie year on the fourth worst defense in the NFL. So, you know, you can look at that in one way or the other. You can say, yeah, he's had a great year personally. He's made a lot of tackles, but you have to when they're just running backs are just coming through the hole untouched every time. You've got to be able to make tackles. So someone's got to get them. They're a bad defense. They have played, everyone's saying, oh, you know, they've played better over the last four games. The only good offense they've played the last four games was Green Bay. They played Seattle, who have one of the worst offense, probably the worst offensive line in football. Ross Wilson was banged up. They've had trouble all year, and they played them at home. They played the 49ers, and they played the Rams, who are the two worst offenses in the NFL. So that's their last four games. So don't tell me they've improved over the last four games, because it's easy to improve. The All-Victorian team could play the 49ers and hold them to 30.
No, we couldn't. They put up 100. We couldn't slow them down at all.
But it's... not, I don't think they're any good, and I think the Patriots are going to really find a way to push them around and run the ball well on them, and that's going to be an issue for Atlanta throughout the whole game. I just don't. On the other way, I don't see how Atlanta are going to slow them down.
Yeah, it's a big ask. That defense has been pretty ordinary all year. One of the probably biggest things about a Super Bowl day is, one, it is a full day. They make a big, long day of it. Now, first off, I'm glad I don't live in WA, because the game would start so goddamn early in the morning. It would be really tough.
Oh, that would be awful.
Thankfully, here it does start at a reasonable-ish hour, and most of the pubs and things who have it on will open around 8, 9 o'clock. So you get in there, get some breakfast, crack open that first beer ridiculously early, and get into your day. But one of the things that really makes Super Bowl Day pretty unique is the betting market and what you can do and the fun you can have with it. So what we did this on the podcast as well. We're going to touch on a bunch of serious ones, and then in our last segment before we hit the 6 o'clock news, we'll get into some of the sillier ones about national anthems and how long they go for and things like that. So the first thing, I updated the match odds today, JA. You can have New England to win at $1.67. You can have the Falcons at about $2.25. Those markets, the Falcons have come in a touch, but not a whole lot.
Now, see, someone put $1 million on the Falcons.
$1.1 million in Vegas.
Million. That's incredible. That's very ballsy. I hope he's got a lot of money if he loses that. Honestly, if I was going to take the Falcons, I'd take them straight. I wouldn't take the points. I don't think +3 is enough to... I think if they win, it's going to be by a touchdown.
I've seen it as low as 1.5.
Yeah, I don't like the +3. So I wouldn't take that. I'd just take the win. And I wouldn't take New England. It's just too short. I'd probably take the line for New England, I guess.
-3. You have it at 191.
I hope they win by a touchdown. Yeah, I think that's the better bet. But I probably wouldn't... I don't like New England... anything. There's just not enough value in that.
I wouldn't touch New England -3 for this reason. When they win a Super Bowl, it's normally not by much. So yeah. I don't want them losing any points. I want them all at my disposal. You lose a little bit of value, the 167 instead, but that's what I'd be taking. If you like New England, just take them straight up.
Yeah.
One of the other big ones that jumps out is the over-under for total game points. It is 58.5. Now, for those who don't know, that is the biggest it has ever been in Super Bowl history. The only one that was close to it was the Saints Super Bowl. I mentioned that in the last segment. That was at 56, and it went under.
I honestly would not touch the total, the over in at all. Over, I just wouldn't touch this bet. It's way too hard to understand, because it could come out, and it could be an absolute shootout, but the Patriots could come out and just demoralize the Falcons and win this game 27-0 or 27-10. Like, you just... it's too hard to... I would not touch it, personally.
There's an old saying that championships wins defense. Sorry, no, it doesn't. Defenses win championships. Wow. I'm all over the place.
Bit of dyslexia, that's good.
And I really can't see this going over. There's never been a line this big before. It didn't go over when it was close to this. I actually like the under there. I think it'll be under the 58. It's probably going to end out something around, maybe a 27, a 21 sort of score line. I think the game will start slow. And open up a little bit in the second half once these two teams feel each other out. But I just can't see it going over that. It's such a big number, but betting-wise. I mean, if you're just talking about it, say, yeah, shootout, 36 to 30. Yeah, it could go way over. But I don't know. I just can't see that coming.
Yeah, I'm not taking that. I'm not touching it at all.
One of the other very popular markets is first touchdown scorer. The good thing about this is if they kick a field goal or, heaven forbid, there's a safety, we get those occasionally. All these bets do stay alive. The first touchdown scorer, it's one of my favorite ones. Anyone can have a little dabble in this one on the day. It'll really make your first, the start of the game really entertaining for you. And as the team gets down in the red zone, you start barracking for your player and things like that.
Give me a favorite and a dark horse that you like, Rich.
Devontae Freeman has scored 7 touchdowns in his last 9 games. They haven't all been the first one. He's the running back for Atlanta, but I really like he's paying $9 to get that first touchdown. He scores a lot for Atlanta. They rely on him. I actually really like him to get that first touchdown. But also in the last 10 years, a wide receiver has got the first touchdown in 7 of the last 10 Super Bowls. So if I'm going to turn my attention to that side of the football, there's 2 sneaky ones I like. Chris Hogan had a coming out party last week for the New England Patriots. He's paying $17 for the first touchdown. And I actually like Mohamed Sanu paying $17 for the Atlanta Falcons. I think Julio Jones, who's paying $9, I think he's going to get double covered most of the first half.
Yeah.
And I think that gives Sanu a great opportunity to maybe sneak a touchdown.
The other two that I like are Austin Hooper and Levine Toilio. They're the two tight ends that they use in the goal line package. So if they get down close and they run a play action, it would most likely go to one of them. Austin Hooper is paying $34 and Toilio is paying $41. So look, they're long shots, but it is a realistic chance that they will get a touchdown because they don't have a lot of catches, but they do score touchdowns when they catch the ball.
Yep.
So there are a couple that I like.
A lot of people also try and sell you on the quarterback sneaking in a touchdown from the 1 yard line. Matt Ryan has not scored a touchdown all year, and Tom Brady's not even on it. Well, he is, but it's a lot further down. Don't touch those. Don't get fooled into them. It's just unlikely to happen. Yeah, they're going to give it to their backs and let them pound it in. While we're talking about the two quarterbacks, they are the favorite for Super Bowl MVP. Obviously, that's best player on the field. Tom Brady is paying $1.91, and Matt Ryan is paying $2.75. They are your favorites by a long, long way. I would say 8 out of every 10 Super Bowls, the MVP would go to the quarterback of the winning team.
If you're
going
to bet on the Patriots to win, you're better off just betting on Tom Brady or parlaying that into a bet and having them both together, because if the Patriots win, it's most likely going to be him. For the Falcons, Matt Ryan, $2.75. It's not bad odds, but they've got to win to get that. Julio Jones is probably who I'd pick, because I think if they're to win this game, I think Julio's got to have a big day. So he's paying $12 there. I also don't mind Deion Lewis for the Patriots at $26. There's a bit of a dark horse where he scored 3 touchdowns in the first playoff game, a kick return, a receiving, and a rushing, and he would have certainly got it that day. But I guess the beauty of the Patriots is they're just very hard to predict what they're going to do offensively.
Yeah, the only other sneaky one is if the Falcons somehow win a defensive struggle and Devontae Freeman finishes with 100 plus yards and 2 touchdowns at $26. Yeah, he's a bit of a smoky, but...
Or Blunt, the same. LeGarrette Blunt at $26 for the Patriots as well. It could really be either of them.
Yeah, so they're ones that are worth looking at. Over-under passing yards is always a really interesting one. Tom Brady, the over-under is 306.5 yards passing, and Matt Ryan, the over-under is 116.5 passing.
I think I'm taking the over with Matt Ryan because I think he's going to throw the ball. I think the Patriots are going to come in and try and completely shut down the running game. That's going to be their first goal, which is normally what they try to do. So I think Matt Ryan's going to win or lose. He's going to be throwing the ball a lot. So I like the over with Matt Ryan. I don't like anything with Tom Brady because he could have a day where he throws for 150 yards and they run the ball all day. You just don't know what their game plan is going to be on any given game. So I wouldn't touch that, but I really like the Matt Ryan for over 316.
Yeah, I think if they're to win, that's certainly what it is. And a lot of these do come down to what you think is going to happen in the game.
Yeah.
You know, if you like the Falcons to win a shootout, then, you know, get around their receivers for first touchdown. Get Matt Ryan over. Get him for the MVP. Because if they win a shootout, he will be. And it's better odds than just taking Atlanta Falcons to win.
Yeah. Before we go to the break, the one thing I want to discuss, and it's in about a minute or so, the one thing I want to discuss is the experience for the Super Bowl. It's a bit off the betting. You've got 4 players who have played in a Super Bowl before on the Atlanta Falcons and 27 for the Patriots. How big a deal do you think that is?
I don't put a heap of stock in it because you do see teams who haven't played in Super Bowl before come in and win them.
Yeah.
Go back to Tampa did it. The Saints did it. The Ravens.
Giants the first time.
Yeah, teams come in and win them and they haven't been in it ever for some clubs and a long time for others. But I don't put a heap of stock in it. I put much more stock in how the coaches will prepare these two teams.
Yeah, and I think they've both got pretty good coaches. Kyle Shanahan losing his playbook and game plan wasn't ideal the other day in the media conference, but he got it back. It was only a reporter who took it by accident. And apparently there was a drone spotted over the Patriots training, the Falcons training today, which it wouldn't be the first time the Patriots filmed someone training before a Super Bowl.
That's someone just trying to create a story.
I agree, but, you know, Marshall Falk
came out during the week. Today.
I know, I'm having a shocker. He came out and said that he still can't believe the Patriots didn't get any ramifications for filming their practice before the Super Bowl, and that was a big upset win, and they were caught filming their practice, which, you know, I think that happens in the AFL. They probably strip some grand finals off people. So, big deal. I don't know. What's your thoughts on it? I know it's old news now, but...
Who cares?
Yeah, they are cheeky, though. So, watch your playbooks, Atlanta.
Yeah, the Patriots played to the edge. As we mentioned before the break, we would finish with a couple of the prop bets that you always see in the NFL, which get
ridiculous. No in-game ones. Let's just do the fun ones, Rich. Don't worry about the in-game stuff.
Okay, pre-game.
Except for no touchdown scored. You can have $301 on not... there not being a touchdown scored. I would say don't take that
save
bet.
Your money. save your money.
But it's up to you. You can enjoy that.
Another one pre-game you can bet on is the coin toss. Heads $1.95, tails $1.95. Same odds if you want to pick the Falcons or New
You'd
England.
Have to be a bit of a derp to be betting on that, wouldn't you?
Or a complete degenerate.
You'd have to really. What would the odds be on that, Rich? About 50-50,
Yeah,
think?
About 50-50. Although I'm sure someone has done the research on how many times it's come up heads and how many times it's come up tails.
Oh, someone. There'll be some crazy guy. Let's get to the best part of the day. When the national anthem starts and you're all standing in a group and it's Luke Bryan this year, our friend of the podcasts, Chris's cousin all the way from America. He starts belting it out and you...
Country music star.
And you've got the over or the under for how long the song will go from note to note. Richie, you've done the research. Tell us what you think.
I've done the research. The line is 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if any female on the planet
over.
Was singing this, you always take
they
the
love
over.
To over-sing those females.
They certainly do. Now, Luke Bryan sung the national anthem at an NHL All-Star game recently, and he sung it in 1 minute and 59 seconds.
Take the under.
That gives you 16 seconds of grace.
Yeah, I'd be taking the under for sure. There's no doubt about that. He's going to sing it quicker because he's a country music singer. He hasn't got the most powerful voice, so he's not going to hold his notes for 30 seconds. I think last year it was the girl from Frozen, the lady from Frozen, and she held her last note for about 25 seconds.
Yeah, it went way
and
over.
And the whole of the Hawthorne pub were going nuts because we all had the over. And it was probably the best part of the day, to be honest. So, look, get on that one. It's a bit of fun. Get all your mates and get on it and enjoy it. And then the other one that I really like, Lady Gaga's doing the halftime show.
Now,
I'm sure you're as excited for that as I am.
Absolutely. She's a megastar. This has come off the board. Apparently, there is a leak that Edge of Glory would be the first song that would be sung. And every betting agent, I cannot find one who still has what song she'll perform first.
I already bet on it.
Then
do I get it?
You'll still get it. It'll hold.
But I have Edge of Glory for $4.50, $4.60, I think it was, about a week ago.
It came into $2.20.
Oh, my.
Came in again, and then it's been taken off the
board. But you know what?
Boards.
They'll tell her to change. They'll tell her to change it. Surely the betting company can just get to her and go, look, we'll give you a couple of hundred K if you do this song first.
I don't know if their exposure to which song Lady Gaga is going to sing first is that bad. You can also bet on what she's going to wear. there's all sorts of things, sunglasses, a tail.
Whether she'll come out completely naked
yes,
was a big bet.
Yes, you can bet on that as well.
Now, you can't bet on her to come out clothed, but you can bet her to come in naked. I wouldn't touch that one either. That's probably not the best one to touch on.
No, that one's absolutely crazy. Stay well and truly away from that
you
one.
You can bet on there being a nipple slip because of
yes,
Janet
can,
Jackson.
Janet
we all
Jackson,
remember that moment.
Infamous moment.
Infamous.
There's a couple of other good ones that I really like. One, scoring in the last 2 minutes of a half. Yes, no. Always take the yes. Brady will drive down the field in under
that's
2 minutes.
That's field goal or touchdown as well.
Yep.
So.
There's another really good one. What will the shortest touchdown scored be? Under or over a yard and a half?
Chris Bryan likes this one.
Chris
him
loves
and his, him and his
the
cousin
under.
Luke, when they were going over the national anthem the other day, were discussing this one. He really likes the under because he wants the PI in the end zone. Puts it on the 1 yard line. I don't know. That one's a bit hard to predict. I think you're a bit desperate if you're starting to bet onto that stuff. But
the longest touchdown line, I've seen this in a lot of different places, so it's all a little bit different. But most outlets are somewhere between 40 and about 45 yards. You get a long touchdown by a Julio Jones type, something like that, that could be way over.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you're going to do anything, take the over. There's obviously a lot more chance of the over. Who you got, Rich? Final word before Brett gets back in on it.
The highest scoring offenses when they come into Super Bowls tend to lose.
Well, there's been five times the number one defense has played the number one offense, and it's one four defense. Yep. They're up. So
because of that, I'm going to take New England. Give me 27-21.
And I'm going against my head on the podcast. I said the Patriots, but I can't get off the Falcons, Brett. I'm taking the Falcons beat the Patriots.
Good stuff. I like that.
Who you got?
I'm going the Falcons. Yeah, the Patriots have had enough. They've had enough success.
Doesn't work like that.
I know. Fitzroy support.